The counselors who are here and the enthusiastic support led by the chairperson, Dr. Lu, we are welcome. Our guests, which will include media and other people who are here. I'm sure this committee meeting is a continuation of an engagement we had last year. Because of time and some technicalities about the wording of the presentation, we then requested that you go back and revamp your presentation so that you come back and then continue to give us the presentation, and also so that members can have more time to interact and understand exactly what type of issues we need to take note of to the coal termination regulations. I won't waste time, except that I'll just appeal to members that maybe after the presentation and the deliberations, we'll quickly look to the program moving forward. But I'll hand over to Ikasa just to take us through. You've got an hour to do everything you want to do. Thank you.
Honorable Chairman, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, and distinguished guests and the media that is here. Again, allow me to express my sincere gratitude to the Portfolio Committee. The questions, the pertinent questions that you asked when we were here last on coal termination were extremely valid, and they helped us, you know, at ICASA, they provided us with a good framework to do what amounts to objective clarification on what coal termination on wholesale really mean. I have with me today Councillor Thabo Makgage and Councillor Fungai Sibanda, who was not here in the last presentation. These two councillors have worked relentlessly on this project from its inception up to now. I also have Peter Hortes, who is our general manager on this subject. He has a very formidable team, you know, that has been working on this project. I am pleased, you know, to come here to give you a historical continuity of the studies as to where we are, and we are going to try and do it this time in a very simple language, because I know you have a big constituency out there to explain. So if we make issues highly complex here, you would go there and confuse the masses. So we must make sure that from our position, this coal termination is simplified. Without wasting time, I will ask Councillor Thabo Makgage to walk you through the slide. We will not belabor the historical past, but we will emphasize what we have done to explain what coal termination is. So over to you, Councillor Makgage.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson of the Committee and Honorable Members of the Committee. Chair, we were here in November, 2010, and at that point we made a presentation, and one of the problems was that perhaps the presentation was a bit technical or not clear, but you know, we thought that perhaps we will quickly run through those slides and then proceed to today's slides, and if I may ask my colleagues to Chair, you remember this was the slide in which we went back a little into history to indicate that although there was a non-competitive environment under the Telecoms Act, but at least there was coverage, very huge coverage. But then the Electronic Communications Act came into being, and it changed the picture. It was time now to look at competition. Next one. And then, Chair, this was just the history of what happened. I don't think one has to belabor this point. Honorable members did have this slide. This was just the history from 2007 until the final regulations were published. And then one of the most important issues that we raised there was that we had divided the market, the wholesale call termination, into two. Market one, which was essentially termination on mobile location, and market two, which was termination on fixed line. And then, of course, we further redivided the market two into two segments. You may recall we were talking about geographic code within the same geographic code and between two geographic codes. This is how we split the fixed line wholesale call termination. Then we indicated that there was lack of access where interconnection arrangements were not fair and therefore resulted in inefficient wholesale call termination rates to both mobile and fixed. And then we went on to indicate the pro-competitive remedies that we had in mind. This were to do with compliance with the interconnection regulations and also compliance with the compliance procedure manual and the charging of fair and reasonable prices. Then we proceeded to look at additional remedies, especially on certain operators who we thought had significant market power. I know they did not like the word significant market power, but in fact that was what the position was. Then they had to prepare a reference interconnection offer, which is actually a standard interconnection agreement, which is not yet between one operator and the other, but it is an indication so that each one of the big operators must present this, prepare this, and publicize it. We want them to provide the regulatory financial reporting. We'll refer to this in the new slides, as well as cost-oriented pricing on call termination. And these are contained in the slide 10. And then there were other additional benefits, Chair, which had to do with the allocation of spectrum, as well as the share of the market. And we felt that MTN, Vodacom, and Telkom were the bigger players and therefore needed to be, not burdened with, but needed to be asked to meet certain additional remedies. Chair, these are the figures now, which are going to end up at 40 cents, because the idea was to try and get rid of peak and off-peak, but we thought that perhaps not to destabilize industry, we will give them an opportunity to adjust their systems so that by 1st of March 2013, we can then have one rate of 40 cents. Then, of course, at that point, we will then review the situation and see whether we need to take further action. I don't think I'll be here at that time, Chair.
Don't count on it.
Then... Then, Chair, we then this is the slide 10 for the fixed. Honourable members will remember that we have divided this into the ON actually merely means the 01, 02, 03, and so on. This is within certain geographic code, as we all know them, and between those area codes will be, as I mentioned, say between Cape Town, which is 021, and Joburg, which is 011. And then there was the issue of asymmetry, Chair, which we said there would have to be certain operators, especially smaller operators, who did not enjoy a reasonable share of the market. to enjoy what we call asymmetry. In other words, they would be allowed to charge a little bit more than the normal termination rates. And this is how we prescribed they should do it. In other words, if an operator qualifies for asymmetry, they can only charge a maximum of 20% above the normal figure with effect from last week. And with effect from the 1st of March, the figure reduces to 15%. It sits at 10% on the 1st of March 2013. This is when then a review will be undertaken. Chair, we wanted to stress at that point that actually we were expecting a reduction in retail prices. So I think this is what we are monitoring at the moment. And thank you very much. I just wanted to say refresh our minds about our report in November 2010.
Maybe before you finish, can you go back to the previous slide before this one? What does that mean in a layman language?
Yes.
Don't talk your
yes, sir.
Your language.
Yes,
in a layman language, what does this mean in a simple language?
Chair, let's take two operators. Let's take Vodacom and ATA. I think ATA. Let's take ATA and Vodacom. What is happening is that if ATA terminates calls into its network, it will charge that normal rate of 73 cents plus 20%, you know, to give them an opportunity to get established. But if a call is made from ATA to Vodacom, Vodacom will charge ATA 73 cents. So the 20% applies only on the reverse, when a caller from when Vodacom terminates into ATA's network. So ATA will then be qualified to charge an extra, you know, to increase their termination rate by 20% maximum. It could be anything lower, but the threshold is 20%. Chair, we will then quickly proceed to the next slide. Then in these slides, we also have some graphs or pictures which will depict how traffic is managed between within a network and between networks. So we felt that is very important because it will then help to answer even more clearly the question that you've just raised, Chair. Thank you, Chair. The slides we will address policy background, how termination affects retail prices, which is a very important element, trends in retail prices, and then conclude. Then we take questions. Chair, the first slide really is simply to say that the two acts, the Competition Act and the Electronic Communications Act, are actually based on government policy. Government decided that from 2006, I think, 2005, the Telecoms Act would be replaced by the Electronic Communications Act, whose thrust is actually competition. So the instruction was that we should evaluate bottlenecks to competition. And of course, such bottlenecks are many in our own industry as well as in other sectors. We know the story about bread collusions, and the Competition Commission fell very hard like a ton of bricks on the culprits. And then, Chair, the ECA is, as I mentioned, is actually to promote fair prices in the context of competition, and the authority would then be expected to take action wherever there is lack of effective competition. And what we were expected to do was then to evaluate the value chain which retail services within which retail services are provided by the value chain. We will indicate in the next slide exactly what we mean. And therefore, having done that, then we would have to do away with bottlenecks. Chair, this is a very important picture, because then it will, and I want to dwell a bit on this. We are now talking about on-net calls. On-net calls will be calls within, for example, Vodacom or MTN. An MTN subscriber phones another MTN subscriber, so it's within the network. As indicated there, step one will be end user A starts a call, end user A calls end user B. Now, network A, which is, in this case, may perhaps let's use the names if MTN people don't mind. Network A, in this instance, is MTN. Let us just agree that it's MTN, for an example. So there are two subscribers, both of them are MTN customers. Customer Tabo, who is A, calls customer Fungai, who is B. We are in the same network. MTN then routes the call through its own network to the other customer. Now, MTN completely controls the retail price. He has no interaction whatsoever with any other network. Now, the next slide depicts a different scenario where we now have, say, network A is MTN and network B is Vodacom. And I am the customer of MTN, which is user A, and Fungai is user B. He's in a different network in Vodacom. Now, this means, therefore, that the traffic, the call, travels between two networks from MTN to Vodacom. So the end result is that in this case, Vodacom, I hope I still remember that, who was a Vodacom MTN. Vodacom charges MTN a termination rate or a termination charge or price. So Vodacom now has an impact on MTN's call charges. This is where we intervened and said, well, Vodacom, your termination rates, wholesale termination rates have been too high. We want you now to reduce them with effect from the 1st of March to the following, right up through to 2013. Chair, these are very important pictures, because now they explain exactly what happens to a call, which is critical, so that then we can begin to be on the same page in terms of what origination and termination is within the network and between two networks. Now, Chair, the question then, what have we found? I have to emphasize that the termination rate set in only last week, on the 1st of March. We are not discounting, of course, the 89 cents, which was introduced in March 2010. But in terms of what the authority is doing, the 1st of March was when the new rates, the new call termination rates, set in.
If you say that, if we're talking under normal circumstances, I know it might not happen, is that when they were setting in, if there was an immediate benefit to the retail, we should have seen prices go down. I'm just taking if it was normal.
That's
I know that it's complicated, not as simple as that, but I'm just saying if it was just directing, it should have gone down, then you should immediately see some benefit.
Yes.
But I know that there are a lot of things which happens in between which we might not be able to be as simple as that.
Exactly. It's interesting that you say that, because in the media, some of the operators have said there is no relationship between retail prices and call termination. But as honorable members can see, there is some relationship. There's no way that there can never be a relationship. In fact, over many years, I've been in the industry for quite a while, we learned that interconnection charges forms a very significant portion of a call. So one gets surprised sometimes when our colleagues make statements to the effect that there is no link whatsoever. In any event, what have we found? We did find, of course, there were the call termination rates were set at very excessive levels. We will remember that in February 2010, a call termination mobile termination rate was 125. There was an intervention by government. It fell to 89 cents. So clearly, there has been excessive levels of charges. And as a result, it really hampered the ability of other players to compete, especially when it came to commercial terms for interconnection. We found that there would be demands like very high bank guarantees, and an operator would say to the operator who's seeking to interconnect, we now want you to put 1 million rand on the table just as a bank guarantee, so that when things go wrong, we can then access that fund. We felt that that was excessively high and that it had to be justified. The other hampering factor was the high minimum monthly traffic requirements. Honourable members will remember that in the pictures that we indicated, there is traffic between networks. Now, the network that's a receiving network, especially rather traffic, will say, well, if you don't give me, say, 10,000 minutes per week, then I think you're wasting my time. I want a minimum traffic. I want minimum of 10,000 minutes. And yet, the other operator who's seeking to connect is small. He's just beginning, like ATA. How do you expect ATA then to give you that high traffic when ATA actually is just a startup? So this is why we're talking about high minimum monthly traffic rates, which hampered interoperability and interconnection among networks. Now, what we expect, Honourable Chair and members, Honourable Members, we want to see enhanced competition in the provision of retail services. That is really our goal. Addressing problems at the wholesale level is not an end in itself. We are moving somewhere. It's a means to an end. Now, the question is, are we seeing this yet? Our answer is yes. New licensees are expressing interest in playing in this market. Honourable members may be aware that are aware, of course, that we have very many licensees. Some of them very, very small. But now they are beginning to show interest interconnecting with the major players, which is quite encouraging. Fixed mobile rates have been reduced. Telkom took a very positive step, for example, last year when the 89 cents was set in and said, well, we are going to pass the reduction, the savings, right through to the consumer, which was very highly appreciated. Now, I have just referred to the fixed mobile retail rates, which have been reduced. And only yesterday, we got news that Neotel had reduced their rates to mobile phones by 21%. It is information which is in the news But, of course, we still expect formal notification from the hotel. This only took effect on the 1st of March, Chair. Telkom did indicate to us in a recent meeting that they were going to further consider reducing their, passing on their savings to their customers, but we haven't got the figures yet. We have observed, Honourable Chair, that retail prepaid prices have not increased since 2007. Now, this really means in economic, well, let me not go to, this actually means that although inflation has been grabbing us, the prices have been maintained constant, which actually in real terms means that they have been reduced. So, as I indicated, in real terms, these prices have been reduced. And we see new packages coming into the market, and the introduction of per second billing taking more effect. Per second billing is good because, as opposed to per minute billing, there is what they call, the operators call, I think they call it unitization. If you call in a per minute billing methodology, it means that if you speak, say, for 30 seconds, you pay for the 1 minute. So you've lost. You've given up your 30 minutes, but you pay the full hog. This graph, Chair, this graph is quite important because it is from Stats South Africa. It is based on the Consumer Price Index, and it covers the period 2008 to 2011. And if we look carefully, because this is a very important graph, honourable members and honourable chair, if you look working from the point of view of an index of 100, starting in 2008, the cost of telecommunications, according to Stats South Africa, who are experts in these things, the cost of telecommunications have gone down in general. They put this into a basket and work out a figure and then determine that indeed these prices have been going down, and this reduction is calculated within that period at 45%. Yes, and if we look carefully, I don't know whether it's blue. I think the blue line is the CPI, you know, the inflation rate, which is going up from about 95 to, I would say, about 112. And then we have the the food prices have been going up. As you can see, the red, the green line, it indicates food prices have been going up. And I'm sure we have experienced this at a personal level. But then Stats SA informs us that actually putting the cost of telecommunications into a basket, into a pot, this has reduced. You can see through the red graph. So we thought this was a very important graph to demonstrate. And of course, Stats SA could then unpack this. But I think they have the expertise. We need not really question their conclusions. Now, we have had a look at the bundles of prepaid packages, Chair, amongst the operators. We have noticed that, let's first of all explain this graph. The 2008 is the clear, the clear barcode, and 2010 is that dark barcode. Throwing this into a pot, these prepaid packages, we notice that Cell C prepaid packages in 2008 were somewhere about around 320. And yet, in 2010, which is now, they've fallen to something like 150. The same then applies to, so that is a reduction of about 53%. The same applies to MTN, and the explanation is the same. They've gone down by about 39%. And Vodacom, a similar trend of reduction in prepaid packages. You may recall, Chair, that I said earlier that some of these packages have remained constant. Some have reduced. But remaining constant against inflation means that in real terms, there is a reduction. And then, of course, there is ATA, which has just come on board. And they started quite low. I think they want to start seeing action. So they started quite low at 150. Is this enough? That is the question we are asking ourselves, Chair. The conclusion is no, it is not enough. We still wish to see further reductions of all voice services. One might add even data services. In this regard, we have therefore asked the operators to provide us with specific retail tariff information so that we can then start monitoring the trends by comparing volumes as well as prices. Well, Chair, thank you very much. I try to be as simple as I can, and as the Chair has, my Chair has indicated, I have two experts here who will handle the most difficult, the questions. I'm sure they will be very difficult. I'll try to stay as quiet as possible to give them an opportunity to tackle the difficult issues. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, we are open for questions.
Okay. Honorable Van der Berg. Honorable Kekane. Van der Berg.
Carefully what you say. Now, I think there's something positive for the consumer in South Africa. There's a lot of other questions I also have to raise. But I think at this moment, the consumers are very positive about the decrease in termination rates and everything. But if you speak or talk to the ordinary person, they're not so sure they get the benefit when they are billed at the end of the month. And let's be honest, an ordinary person that is not a statistician or whatever, it's very difficult to work out. Nowadays you make hundreds of rand of calls every month, and you get the statement 10, 15 sheets. Are we sure that we get the benefit of this termination rate? That's what I hear on the ground, and I'm sure ICASA heard this before. People are concerned that they are not getting the benefit from the decrease in termination rate. I think this is a burning issue, and I think ICASA must do something to ensure the people that they are really getting the benefit. Because, as you also said, according to Statistics South Africa, that there was a decrease of about 53% or whatever, if you look at the past, but the people don't see it. Maybe they phone more. I'm not so sure about that. But that is a burning issue. The ordinary person thinks somebody is fooling around. Thank you.
Honorable Kekan?
New members of the committee.
Thank you, Honorable Kekane. Honorable Truha.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do apologize for coming late, and I think I missed quite a lot of
the I didn't notice anyway.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your presentation. I continually hear about call, reduction in calls. So I'm talking about voice calls, and just my curiosity is in SMSs. Is there a rate, a decrease in SMSs? When you say you want data to be reduced, the rate of data, so does that include SMSs as well? That's my first question. And then secondly, when we travel and we tour overseas, is that a rate as well?
Thank you for those three important questions from the honorable members, the portfolio committee. I'm glad this time we are not going to be terminated. We are expertly prepared to answer these questions, and I'm going to allow my two colleagues to answer the three questions.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and members of the committee. The observation by Honorable Van der Berg, I think it's correct to say that ordinary members of the public out there perhaps do not feel or have not yet experienced the reductions in calls that we are talking about here. And it's very important to indicate that what we are trying to do here is to introduce competition, and the reduction in termination rates, or what we call interconnection rates, will certainly facilitate competition at the wholesale level. It will make it easier for smaller operators to compete effectively in the market. It will also make it easier for new entrants or potential competitors to enter the market. And when that happens, we should then see an impact in retail rates. However, there is going to be a lag, and but eventually, I think consumers will be able to experience the reduction in cost. It will not obviously happen overnight. When prices decrease, they don't do so overnight. They do so over a period of time. But what we are saying, the presentation today is trying to indicate that there are positive signs that there is movement in the market, that competition is beginning to okay. We are seeing new entrants into the market. We are seeing prices begin to reduce. However, over time, that then will be passed on to consumers. So it's correct. At the moment, ordinary consumers may not be feeling or may not yet be experiencing the reduction in prices, but it is there, it is happening, and over time, I think we'll begin to feel it as well as ordinary consumers. The term termination rate, Honorable Kekane, simple, we're talking about two networks, whereby a caller from one network calls someone else from a different network, and therefore there needs to be what we call interconnection of the networks. Now, my colleague gave an example of an MTN subscriber calling a Vodacom subscriber. Now, when you call, when an MTN subscriber calls a Vodacom subscriber, Vodacom terminates the call. MTN originates the call. In other words, the person that calls from MTN is the originator of the call. MTN originates that call, but then it ends on the Vodacom network, or it terminates on the Vodacom network. So what we term the termination rate, we are talking about the call being terminated on a different network. We also use the term interconnection rate or interconnection cost to mean the same thing, that it is the rate that Vodacom will charge MTN to handle that call or to terminate that call. So it's simply a question of two networks interconnecting, and there is a cost to that. This is that is the cost that we are talking about today, that the rate at which a network terminate calls or handle calls across networks, that fee needs to be regulated, or is what we are regulating today. I'll probably ask Peter to talk about roaming charges. Thank you.
The SMS and the roaming?
Good morning. Good morning, Chair and honourable members. Regarding the SMS question, it is a concern of the authority, and I believe that this is, again, as raised earlier, possibly a question of concern of consumer knowledge rather than too high prices. There are, in the market, bundled SMS packages where if you buy a certain number of SMSs, you can get vastly reduced rates as to the cost per SMS. And I believe that one of the concerns that we may actually face here is rather consumer information rather than a price problem. However, from the authority's perspective, we will take this back, have a look at the packages, and then have a look at how that is communicated. Because one of the key problems may well be that consumers are not aware that they have the opportunity to buy vastly reduced bundles. And the other thing that is also important to realize is that you can buy vastly reduced SMS bundles not only from MTN, Vodacom, or Cell C. There are other companies out there which I don't want to advertise, but you can buy packages via these companies at vastly lower rates. So you can get SMSs very cheaply out there through different mechanisms using your same cell phone. So you don't have to change your cell phone. You use the same cell phone to do the same thing. It's about how you do it. And that, to me, is it's a consumer advocacy matter which we will take up. Regarding roaming fees, MTN has announced that they have reduced their roaming fees within Africa, and the reason they can do that because it's their network within Africa. International roaming fees require international agreements. As a national regulatory authority right now, ICASA does not have power over international roaming rates. How roaming rates are regulated through international or regional cooperative blocks. CRASA is the regulatory body of Southern Africa. They are conducting a study into roaming rates, and that will be a multilateral decision as to what governments will follow regarding roaming rate policies. The authority obviously provides input into that study, but that is a multilateral agreement where roaming rates are regulated. It cannot be regulated solely from within South Africa. There is a study currently being conducted by our regional body. We provide input into that, and that will lead to proposals regarding regional roaming rates. Thank you.
Thank you, colleagues. And just to add value to what my colleagues have said, I just want to say to Councillor Van den Berg that your question here is very, you know, important.
No, no, no. We don't have any intention to appoint him as a councillor.
No. But I just wanted to add, you know, one thing is that we at ICASA, we now have a communication strategy which will try by all means to simplify some of these terms. We are not there yet, but we are still cultivating that communication strategy. And Honorable Member Kekani, your terms, you know, that these councillors were using were also very confusing to me. But through this communication strategy, we do hope that our consumer affair will simplify that to the level of ordinary people. But that is still an unfolding drama. We will certainly make sure that that is done.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe?
May I ask a follow-up question?
By all means, since you are aspiring to be a councillor, it's fine.
I just want to understand something very clearly. I understand what the councillor said about competition in the market will be to the benefit of the consumer and. As I understand, I'm not an economist, that competition in any market keeps the prices down and et cetera, et cetera. What I don't understand, if I go back to what you said about symmetry. For instance, when you are a consumer of, mentioned the Vodacom and Ufone data, now you charge 73 cents, and now ATA is allowed to ask 20%, a maximum of 20% more. What I don't understand, and I think this is the perception of the ordinary consumer in South Africa, what is happening now is that the consumer is paying for competition in the market. Well, is that what I mean? So, not all the players entered the market at the same time. It should have been wonderful if all the players entered the market at the same time, and I think then the playing field were sort of leveled at this stage. But now we are working with a playing field. On the one side, there's beautiful cut grass like the F&B Stadium, and on the other side, it's the Hoi Polloi Stadium somewhere, even from the club, do you understand what I mean? And they have to play a soccer match on that same ground. It's uneven, and the consumer has to pay for competition. Can you please explain that to me? Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you. You see, maybe you need to explain this question clearly and slowly. In relation to the issue of the dominance in the market, because if you understand the issue of a market, if you want to talk that you want a free market, you also need to deal with how people access that market. So if you've got the people already in who are crowding out, others who are trying to come in, there must be something which you do to try to assist those who are trying to come in. But the issue, I think, that is important because whether that act of trying to assist the new incumbent has impact on the retail price for the consumer. I think that's where the crux of the matter is. If you talk about that 20% maximum, who's paying that 20% maximum actually, which you allow ADA or Cell C to charge Vodacom or MTN? Is it the consumer or is absorbed by the incumbent, which is dominant itself and so on? I think that's the gist of the question around that particular matter. But the other question which I wanted to ask myself was that, can you clarify? The operators are saying there is no link between the two. the wholesale price and the retail price. When you make the presentation, you said your experience is that there is a link because the wholesale price form substantive part of their pricing. But the issue, the question is, what in your experience, why they are saying so? Exactly. So that we understand, because there seems to be a dispute between the regulator and the operators. The operators are saying, no, you can cut your wholesale price. It does not matter. It won't affect the retail. I'm sure after the first announcement, one of the biggest operators came out boldly to say that you can cut, but it doesn't matter anyway. And when I just forget your surname, Sibanda, you were making the presentation, you were saying over time we'll see the effect of the this interconnection reduction. Over time, you see. See, over time is over time. 20 years is over time. 50 years is over time. What is this over time the regulator is looking? Because I will tell you why. We need to understand what is this over time mean, and when are you going to start to take action when the overtime is overtime. So because we need to be clear ourselves that what are you looking at this overtime? When are you going to take action if there is this overtime where there's overtime of no reduction by the overtime? So we need to be clear around that particular matter. I'm sure you'll be able to help. Because it will assist us also to monitor the regulator. Because one other thing which we want to be clear at is the ability and the power of the regulator to monitor and enforce its own regulation. And also to have the desired outcome. You see, when you say you regulate, the outcome which you want to see. But we want to monitor your ability to regulate and enforcing your regulation, and then we see the outcome. And to some of us, you know, that thing is important because we've got a suspicion, or not a suspicion, but we've noticed that the regulation so far has been focusing to the operators or the industry without focusing on the consumers themselves. Not necessarily, your regulation are good at doing that, but we have not been enforcing your regulation so that the consumers are benefiting. That's the problem, the monitoring part and enforcing your regulation. The regulations are fine, some of them and so on, but your ability to enforce them so that consumers are benefiting is what we are not sure about that. That's why we're asking about this over time so that we are clear. That is one part. The second part is that there's been this MTN letter, the alleged MTN letter which has been circulating, which we have seen it in the media. What is all about that? You see, around January or so, there was this letter which was in this media circulating about the MTN CEO trying to coerce other operators about the price. So, do you know anything about that? What was all about and so on? It was on the Tech Central around January this year and so on. What do you know about that that particular act from MTN, alleged from MTN and so on? Because I'm not sure whether that is factual and so on. But I'm interested. What exactly was happening? What has been the response of the regulator around that particular matter and so on? That's one issue. The third one, on the other side, you've got this, your new entrants who are finding difficult to conclude the agreement, asymmetric agreement, with the big one. As we speak, what will be the intervention of the regulator? Because that flies in your face of the regulation, that is the regulation which directs the bigger players to interconnect, to enter into agreement with the small one. And they seem to be dilly-dallying. And some of them, they've been saying openly, your regulation is confusing. In fact, it's not clear in terms of that particular issue and so on. What are you going to do about that? It goes to the first question, your ability to enforce also regulation and other things and so on. So I'm just interested to know what are you going to do about that to make sure that indeed these new entrants, they do benefit in terms of your current regulation and so on. We don't want to call them back here in Parliament again to come and explain themselves. But if you come to the push, things continue as they are. We might be tempted to call the operators again to Parliament to come and explain themselves. But we must do that when we are clear that we have done all in your power to enforce your regulation and nothing is happening and so on. Councillor has raised the issue of minimum traffic. I've seen there are also high bank guarantees, because it will seem when the new entrants want to enter into this agreement, they will be told, given high bank guarantees, traffic which you needed to go there. What is your immediate intervention around those particular issues? But it's just like in the face of free market and other things and so on. Thanks, Chair. Can you rearrange your team to respond?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Those are highly valid questions. And we do not want to be a regulator that is toothless. So I think my colleagues are going to systemically address those questions, because they are highly, highly pertinent and relevant into the space of being a regulator.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The question from Honorable Van der Berg regarding competition and the fact that consumers are actually paying for competition. I think it's very important to note that interconnection rates have decreased from 1.25 to the current 73 cents. And that's a huge reduction. However, what we are saying is smaller operators or new entrants into the market, the assumption is that they will face high average cost of production because their network is not yet mature. They don't have the mass, the critical mass of subscribers in the market, so they face higher cost of production. Therefore, you need to allow them some leeway, and we are saying that they should be allowed to charge up to a maximum of 20% above the regulated rate. However, that does not necessarily mean that that will be passed on to their consumers. And smaller operators have a choice. By the way, this is not an obligation that is imposed on them. They have a choice to charge that maximum 20% above the regulated rate. Actually, if you look at this particular slide here, it actually shows you that this new entrant, ATA, is actually able to compete with established players in the market. The retail prices that are charged to consumers are at a level that is around 150. Yet they have the leeway to charge up to 20% above for the termination rate. Remember that the termination rate is a wholesale rate, which is why we're saying that normally there's going to be that complex relationship between the termination rate and the retail rate. So what ATA is doing here is they are able to compete with well-established players in the market who've been there for more than 15 years and the like, but they are coming in and charging rates that are even lower than Vodacom, for instance. So it's not true that consumers are actually paying for competition. Competition is there for the benefit of consumers, and this is exactly what we're witnessing in the market. Chairperson, the question around reduction of prices. You will recall that one of the issues that we've been emphasizing from November last year when we came to brief you around call termination regulations is that we will begin to monitor retail prices, because that is where our interest is. And the presentation today is actually indicating to us that prices are beginning to reduce, or they are beginning to fall. However, these regulations came into effect only on the 1st of March. And now the next step in our plan is to then closely monitor retail rates going forward. However, we are already beginning to see the reductions. I think I was responding to the question from Honorable Van der Beek that ordinary consumers out there are not experiencing the reductions as yet. However, the reductions are there. They will begin to feel them. They will begin to experience them. And as a regulator, we are monitoring those retail prices. And if they don't, if they don't decrease to our satisfaction, we have the obligation to then enter that retail space and begin to see what can be done, whether we want to regulate retail prices or want to introduce some other mechanisms. But what we are saying is, currently speaking, there is movement, there is positive movement in the market, prices are beginning to decrease, and we are seeing the new entrants also entering the market and being able to compete, because high termination rates actually impede new entrants to compete effectively. But we are beginning to see new entrants coming in. For instance, we also have a new virtual mobile operator, Red Bull, you know, coming into the market as well. So I think so all those are positive outcomes in the market that we are beginning to see.
Maybe before you proceed, I understand that. How much time are you going to take to monitor? We want to hold you accountable. And we cannot hold you accountable on a vacuum or open space. We want to know what time do you need to monitor, so that we'll start to understand that, no, we can be able to say, ICASA, can you come back and give us a report? What is your findings and other things and so on?
Certainly, Chair. I think probably what we need to do is to give periodic reports to the committee on an ongoing basis, because this is going to be an ongoing process. We are going to be receiving reports from the operators in terms of their retail prices, and we'll analyze those, compile a report, and perhaps then give it to the committee. In terms of time frames, probably we could do it, I don't know, once a quarter. But I need to be guided here by the chairperson. Either once a quarter or 6 monthly. But it's something that can be done. We will give the committee reports or feedback in terms of our monitoring activity.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm talking on the spot here without the chairman's guidance.
Yeah, those are a very valid point, Chairman. And Sibanda has just put himself on the spot. I hope he'll be able to deliver, because it will show in his evaluation. Yeah. But when we come here, we are going to show you our business plan. And in our business plan, all those elements will be reflected. There's another element. I know many people say ICASA needs to be strengthened, and I agree with that. And I do hope in the course of this year we will produce a study, what is called IGI, Institutional Coal Inventory. This will show us exactly where ICASA needs to be strengthened, because our budget so far, Chair and Honorable Members, it's a very big constraint. And with your intervention, I'm sure you will be able to strengthen us along those lines, so that we can be able to make ICASA a very, very important regulatory body in this ICT space, which is highly fluid and volatile.
Chair, you spoke about the challenges that are faced by smaller operators who qualify for the asymmetrical charges in terms of concluding agreements with the major or the established operators. We have received letters from smaller operators complaining that they are actually facing challenges in with respect to concluding interconnection agreements or interconnection rate agreements with the larger operators. And we have written to the operators, the established operators, or those that are said to have significant market power. Over and above that, we have published a practice note that explains the regulations and how the asymmetrical charges are supposed to be levied. We have also released a media publication or done a media release explaining again our regulation and how asymmetry is supposed to be implemented. Now, Chair, I think the major operators are simply behaving badly here, because the regulations are straightforward. But we have gone an extra mile in trying to explain the regulations to them. If they fail to implement the regulations, obviously we have recourse, because they don't have a choice but to implement the regulations. And we have the Complaints and Compliance Committee. I think if they fail to implement the regulations, we will call them before the Complaints and Compliance Committee to come and explain to us, and if need be, sanctions will be imposed upon them. But it's simply a question of established players being comfortable, you know, in the market, not wanting to change and all that. However, as a regulator, we have come out categorically and stated that these regulations are plain. This is what needs to happen, because they are contending that smaller operators must come to us and request to actually charge asymmetrical rates. And we're saying, no, they don't have to come to us. The regulations are clear. They need to be implemented as they are. No operator needs to come to us to ask for permission. The permission is actually contained in the regulations themselves. So the bigger operators simply need to implement those regulations. And like I said, should they fail to do that, then we will call them before the Complaints and Compliance Committee to account. And obviously there have been all these issues around barriers to enter the market, where bigger operators will ask for high bank guarantees, you know, guarantees in terms of traffic volumes and all that. The regulations provide for what we call a reference interconnection offer, which is simply a guide that says, if you want to enter into an interconnection with myself as a bigger operator, these are the parameters for that particular agreement. And the guidelines will talk about things such as bank guarantees and the like, so that it becomes much easier for operators out there to enter into interconnection agreements, because previously it took a very long time for operators to negotiate these agreements. But once you have a reference interconnection offer in place, then it should facilitate the negotiations, so that those are concluded within a very, very short space of time. We also recognize that bigger players use actually those agreements as sort of a barrier to prevent smaller operators coming into the market. But that is changing, because it is contained in the regulations, and they have to abide by those regulations. Peter.
Thank you, Councillor Chairperson. To answer your question about the link, the supposed link, that there's no link between termination and retail prices, it's a question of balance. A business receives revenue from a number of revenue sources, and what we've done is reduced the amount of revenue a company can now receive from termination services. You know, the MTN receives a lot of money from all the calls that Vodacom subscribers make to it through termination rate fees. We've now reduced the termination rate fee, which means we've effectively reduced the amount of money they can get as one of their multiple revenue streams in terms of their total business. So their question is, well, as a business I want to profit maximize, as a business I want to make as much money as possible, how do I keep doing that? And that is the question that there will be. That's the underlying statements that are coming out behind the operators. They are saying, well, there's no direct link, because I've got to balance out the loss that you've just imposed on me with some other revenue stream. That's why they're saying that there's no direct link. There is a link regarding the cost for an individual call, but regarding the total revenue of a business, these regulations do have an impact on the total revenue stream of a company, but through, as Councillor Sabanda has quite clearly explained, so what? Competition is going to happen. They are going to have to compete through better offerings of retail prices, because now they have an opportunity to do that, particularly the new ones. So within, and Chairperson, your question of time, 3 years is out of time, not within period of time. We are expecting rates to come down within 3 years, and it is happening. We see it happening already. And then if I just may explain further on the reference interconnection offer situation, previous practice has been that an interconnection seeker, a small party, would have to come to a big guy and say, I want to interconnect with you, and the big party would say, well, give me R1 million bank guarantee, and say, for example, R100,000 minimum traffic guarantee forecast, which would mean every month I would have to give that company R100,000 whether I generated that number of calls or not. That is changing through the reference interconnection offer process. We have had some substantive negotiations with the operators, and it's not a negotiation between the regulator and the licensee. The regulator has said bank guarantees cannot be any more than 3 months total forecast traffic. The regulator has said minimum traffic guarantees cannot be a barrier. The regulator has said timelines cannot be a barrier, and we have said, according to ARIO, it should be done in 15 days. And then the operators were given the task of going away, coming up with their commercial agreement to take into account what the regulator has said, that bank guarantees can only equal a maximum of 3 months forecast traffic, can only consider aspects that are fair costs. And so those have been submitted to the authority. The authority has reviewed them. We've negotiated with the licensees as to what they are and, in effect, changed them to benefit new parties. And that process will be concluded by the end of this month, which will then make interconnection agreements that much faster, that much quicker, that much easier, and that much cheaper, which means competition becomes better as well. So we're dealing with that bank guarantee issue. Regarding the MTN letter, as Councillor Sibanda said, licensees have written to us and complained about certain matters. We have come through the press and through a gazette stating how these regulations work. We have responded directly to certain licensees as to what their conduct is and what their conduct should be. I'm not 100% sure of the what you refer to regarding MTN on the 28th of January, but that problem will be resolved because we've stated our case, we've stated what they must do, and as Councillor Sibanda has said, we're doing it and they have to comply.
Honourable Trochen and then Makazi. And Kekan.
I must say I'm not satisfied regarding the answer regarding the SMS. We got a briefing from DMC last year that looked at the high cost of SMS. Okay, so I must admit I'm not satisfied with your answer that you were saying that the consumers are not getting the information. I think that the CASA does have a unit that seems to consumer information. So what is that unit doing with any CASA to make sure that consumers are getting information? Okay, and for example, the example that you use via SMS packages and all those types of things, what is that unit in CASA doing to, you know, to send that information? And then secondly, I just want clarity. I'm not too sure if I understand fully. You talk about government policy is to ensure fair retail prices through promotion of competition. And then you've got the Competition Act of 1998 and the Electronic Communications Act of 2005. Are you saying that the committee needs to change our Electronic Communications Act to include, that would include something, fair retail prices? That's what you said. I just need
Thank you, Chair. My question will be, maybe it's a general question. But I have to ask, now that we are talking about the call, the reduction, call termination reduction price. But I just want to check, maybe the question is relevant to the operator, but because CASA, you are dealing with this matter, the issue of the drop call, where does it reside? It resides in this subject that we're talking about. Again, I know in the ICASA you have a unit that deals with it. You call it CCC, competition compliance committee. What I want to check from ICASA, in the Department of Trade and Industry, we have an agency or commission that has been established. It's a consumer protection commission that one of its objectives is also to research, to monitor on consumer abuses. I'll use that word because I don't have a better word. So what will be the relationship of that, your CCC and that commission? Because I see it that there should be some relationship, because you are almost going to do the same thing. Although ICASA, you are going to focus on that sector. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I will let councillors.
Chair, I wanted to emphasize this point because we've had a bitter experience in this country where we told our companies in 3 months like you're saying, and in the textbook it's fine, in theory it's fine, but in practice, remember, all of the time you go to supermarkets, groceries, and services, price is almost 20% more, millennials is more, thin stuff, those are basic foods that we eat in the country. And trade and industry to take companies to court. And some of them up to now must pay the fine or they've already paid. So the point is that it will be very naive to say that competition is free market system, because free market system is all the good intentions. It's not free. People tamper with it, even illegal, they do. Companies come together, collide, and agree on a price, and they don't even keep minutes so that you don't have proof to pay them to court. So you've got to realize this is a very complex, this is a very sophisticated way people want to make money at all costs. And that is a different battle from that thing, competition, so my guess. Because it isn't all that way. That competition, people will work and beat the competition by doing illegal things. And you need to ensure that this is, you're going to really be on your guard. Don't lower your guard skills, because I can tell you they will find a way. I mean, the point is, people, our constituency people in Konya, they say, hold back because I don't have airtime. And we realize that irrespective, airtime is still expensive. We don't feel the benefit yet. I know you think it will happen later, but we really, really want to caution you and say you're entering a very tough terrain of operating there, and of course, we are not. because of the heat experience in Johnson and Johnson. Meat was expensive, food was expensive, and trade and industry and all the matter. But people think that they are going to make money.
Thank you, Honorable Kekan. Were you saying liqua was expensive? Okay.
No, thank you. No.
Maybe in addition to the questions, there is this agreement between the operators. You know, you remember your CST thing? That has been disputed there on your CST. I just want to check whether this regulation are curing those disputes. Because you remember others were charging others high amount, others less amount, and so on. But I just want to check that maybe this regulation are also curing that particular problem which you had in the past.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Let me start with the question regarding government policy with respect to competition, something that we had in one of our slides. I think what you are saying there is that the Electronic Communications Act actually complements the Competition Act, because the Electronic Communications Act is competition focused. And so the two acts actually complement each other. And maybe that ties in neatly with the question from Honorable Gekana regarding competition and the free market system. I think there's a difference between a free market system and competition. You can have a free market system but not have competition. Again, the reason you have a regulator such as ICASA is because there is recognition that the market system may fail. And therefore, when it does fail, you need to have a regulator who will step in to rectify those market failures. And this is exactly what we are doing here. We are not leaving this matter to market forces. We are not leaving it to the forces of demand and supply out there. We have come in, we have intervened, we have regulated prices so that consumers may benefit. Otherwise, if we believe that the market system will deal with the issue, we wouldn't have passed these regulations. But we have recognized that there is a market failure, and therefore competition is restricted. And our duty is to cultivate that competition. Our duty is to induce that competition, and this is exactly what we are doing here. We have intervened on behalf of consumers to reduce prices. And that is the difference between a regulator such as ICASA and the competition authorities, who will only come in at the tail end of events, you know, to see whether there has been anti-competitive behavior in the market, and then you come in and you investigate and do that. We act proactively. In other words, we put regulations in place upfront before they are abusive in the market. So that's the difference really here. And we're not leaving these matters to the market system. All we're saying is we are regulating, but we are regulating for competition, because at the end of it all, competition needs to happen. You need to have many players in the market. Prices need to reduce. You need to have quality services in the market. That is what will happen when there is effective competition. So we don't necessarily have to we don't need to amend the Electronic Communications Act in order for there to be fair prices in the market. The Electronic Communications Act, Chapter 10, Section 67 of the Act, actually gives ICASA those powers to intervene even in the retail space, which is why we are saying for now we will monitor events and see what is happening in the retail space. If nothing happens, then we will use the provisions of Section 67 to come in and regulate in the interest of consumers. The question on dropped calls, we have regulations. They are called end user and end user service charter regulations, which actually deal with quality of service issues. There are certain standards that are contained in those regulations, for instance, with respect to drop calls, with respect to network failure, and all those things. And we have requested operators to give us reports biannually on their rates of drop calls, on their rates of network failures, on their rates of repairs, and all that. And on our part, we also proactively go out into the market, market to actually monitor services. However, at this point in time, and perhaps that is something that will come back to the committee with when we talk about our strategy, we need up-to-date or we need modern equipment to monitor networks out there so that we are in a position to then intervene if there are problems. At the moment, we are relying on operators to give us their reports biannually so that we are able to see whether they actually abide by the standards that are contained in the end-user service charter regulations. But that issue is being monitored. There are regulations in place, and we are implementing those regulations. Yes, there is a National Consumer Commission in place, which is created by the Consumer Protection Act. What the Consumer Protection Act says is that the National Consumer Commission must enter into agreements with regulators that also regulate consumer issues. We have met with representatives of the National Consumer Commission. We are in the process now of trying to negotiate a memorandum of agreement so that we coordinate our activities, because there will be areas of overlap, there will be areas of contradiction, there will be areas of duplication. Now, the Consumer Protection Act says that we need to coordinate our activities. So we have begun negotiations with the National Consumer Commission. We have met them. We are setting a task team that will negotiate a memorandum of agreement in the same manner that we have a memorandum of agreement with the Competition Commission, for instance. So those issues are being coordinated. And then that will inform us as to what the relationship should be between the National Consumer Commission and our Complaints and Compliance Committee. So that issue is being attended to. Yeah, I think I'm done.
Thank you, Councillor Chairperson. The question regarding SMSs and what is the role of the Consumer Affairs Division in ICASA. This is a point that I think has been raised a number of times by this committee, and the chairperson of ICASA has referred to a new communications plan, but what we will also be revealing to this committee in the 22nd of March is our new strategic plan and how we're going to actually do it. And we're going to, in that, will be spoken about a much more detailed, clear consumer, not outreach, but advocacy and information programs, so that people are aware as to what is available, how to get it, who will give you the service, so that you, as a consumer, are fairly informed of what is available to you, because there is a concern that consumers are not fully informed of what their choices are, and therefore they are restricted to what they're used to. So we will be in the 22nd of March informing this committee as to what our plans are regarding that position.
To give you a lucid example of how we are re-engineering our consumer unit, for instance, on the 15th and the 16th, we have a summit on persons with disabilities. This is again in another attempt of re-engineering, you know, that component. We are going to meet with the manufacturers of this gadget to make sure that, you know, what they manufacture also is user-friendly with persons of disabilities. Another component that we are doing too with CRASA, the meeting. We have cordially invited all of our honorable portfolio committee to attend these two conferences. The consumer one, which is 15th to the 16th, is going to be held in Boksburg. I was on Morning Live yesterday speaking about that one. On the end of the month, we are going to have CRASA, and one of the agenda items that might come up, or it's already an ongoing element, is to harmonize the regulatory bodies. Councillor Spanda and I, we attended a Maputo conference where we talked about convergency and how our definitions can be made harmonious. Now, March, South Africa will be chairing CRASA, and we are going to make it a point that this element of coal termination internationally, it is also given a special focus in CRASA as CRASA moves forward.
Any question, members? You want to say something?
Apologies, Chair. The question regarding CSTs is that community service telephones are an obligation that were imposed on Cell C, MTN and Vodacom under the Telecommunications Act licensing regime. That's an obligation that is ongoing. It continued into the new licensing regime of the Electronic Communications Act. And for purposes of the impact on consumers, the retail rate for CSTs is regulated by the authority. It's 90 cents, and nobody's applied to ever increase it. And if ever such an application were ever to be received, the ICASA would have to consider that that application in light of the fact that community service telephones are there to provide connectivity to services in underserviced areas. So if that was to ever be applied for, we would obviously take the social considerations into account. Regarding the termination of CSTs, it is a contested issue. ICASA is going through a process of reviewing the universal service access obligations. It's a project that started last year. There were public hearings on this in November and December last year, and we have stated in when we released the call termination regulations last year that the issue of termination and consumer service telephones would be addressed through the full review of universal service access obligations.
So that process of CST interconnection has not been finalized. It's the one which we are still busy with. I'm just raising it because the ongoing contestation, as you are saying, between the operators. But the issue is that I'm sure you are responding when you say ICASA is reviewing some of those things so that you are able to deal with them and so on. Members, any other question? There is no harm to finish the meeting at 11.
Thanks
very much, ICASA. I don't see any other hands. I suppose that today your language was simple and precise. Are you raising your hand?
No, Chair. I wanted to remind you, Chair, that ICASA actually, they have said they are going to come to move a to report to the committee. No, I'm reminding you, Chair, that before you close the meeting, the ICASA, they have promised us that they will come back and give us a monitoring report on the call termination. And that actually they were saying quarterly. Can you finalize that?
Yeah, no.
Don't worry, that one will be finalized. Don't worry. But you see, the point I was saying that at least your presentation today has been clearer and simple than the previous one in terms of making us to understand. But I think the challenge which we are having is that this is the first regulation we have called you to come and explain. We have not done that in the past. In the other regulation which we have done, I'm not sure whether it's because of the nature of the issue which is at stake in relation to this one. But I think out of our discussion, issues which are clear, which we might want us to see it happening, is this matter of the finalization of the agreement between the new entrants or the small operators and the established ones. We will be following that. We've got a keen interest around that because it undermines the role of the regulator and so on. The second issue is which we want to monitor, Councillor Sibanda has indicated that you don't even have the capacity of the modern technology to monitor the compliance of your own regulation. I will assume that those are budgetary constraints and other related issues. But all what we want to see is that we have said you must regulate. We have seen that there is a progress in regulating. We are concerned maybe in terms of the time which you take to finalize regulation. But I think it's the matter which we need to focus at and see how do we improve your turnaround of finalizing of regulation. But the more issue is your capacity and your ability to enforce your own regulation and monitor compliance. I think that is the issue which we want to start to focus at. Not necessarily that we are going to dump the other one of your turnaround of regulation and so on. But we want to start to emphasize your capacity to monitor and also to enforce your own regulation and so on. The third issue is around the issue of the continuous briefing which has been raised by Honorable Magad. You said quarterly. I will tell you that quarterly is too close, too much. So we can't make it in quarterly. Maybe the 6 months will do. You brief us twice in a year in terms of within a financial year, just twice to understand what is happening. That's what the Honorable Magazi was raising around that particular matter and so on. The other issue, I'm sure we are starting to have an interest on understanding your other regulation which we have passed through. We might have to call you to come and explain them. How does those regulations complement the legislation, in particular the objective of the legislation? Because you see, at one point there were other people raising issues that some of the regulations seek to undermine the legislation. So for us to understand your regulation, we might start to call you to come and explain even other regulation. In fact, that you need to couple with the audit of the impact of all your regulation this far. We need a comprehensive audit report, what has been the impact of your regulation in the market and also in the what has been the benefit of the consumers in terms of your regulation. We must have an audit so that we are clear that it's the regulator making regulations which are having an impact in the sector, and these are the issues which are tangible, which we can say really are happening in the sector. So we'll be keen at one point. I'm not sure whether how long that will take, whether you are ready with the audit of all your regulation thus far, so that we are able to monitor the impact and so on. Because some maybe they are due to be reviewed. At a certain point they were correct and precise, but now they are no longer valid and so on. So we need to undergo that process with you. We are very keen to understand that impact so that we don't just have the regulator for the sake of having a regulator, but want the regulator which is effective. And also to redefine your role in a developmental state. Everyone has agreed that South Africa is a developmental state, but we have not aligned the institution to that thinking
of a developmental state. So as we go on, we need to engage around those particular issues and so on. I think those are the issues moving forward which we need to engage at. But from where I am, I can see that you are improving. You are doing very well, as we have said last time. And we have explained very well the we might not be happy in terms of the period. You remember last time we say why 2011, not 2010, and so on. So we might not be happy, but we have already issued the regulation and so on. But we are pleased that we understand what is happening and we have the continuous interaction and so on. So those are the issues which we would like you to note, because we are going to interact heavily as we are moving forward so that we understand your impact in the sector and so on. I heard the Councillor Makhakhe talking about he might not be there when the other time. I'm not sure what he was talking about, but it's fine. We are still going to have to do the audit of your regulations, which we have published or we have made at a certain time and so on. Without any hands from the members, I know the chairperson always likes to say something at the end. So you can have your say before we close, Chair. Go to our other item.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and thank you, Honourable members of Portfolio Committee. As you can see, what I have here is the A team, and I do hope when you when
the
council the A team here, and I do hope when their renewal period come, you will be more sympathetic to them. But now coming to the more stronger issues here, what we have just read, Chairman, Honourable Chair. In our strategic workshop, we try to align first our strategic objective with the DOC minister so that the policymakers and the regulatory element, our regulation is now commensurate with where DOC is going. That's item one. And then item two, in our work plan, we have put heavy emphasis on impact. I am not happy, as Chair of ICASA, that USASA is dangling loosely out there, and we collect monies from the operator, and we just give it to users as if we are a collecting agency and passing the money. These two bodies have to be inextricably interwoven. I'm speaking big English now, but I will simplify it. I simply mean that they have to begin to operate as one, just as we have to operate as one with our policy people. That must be ubiquitous and that must be seamless. And we do appreciate, I know Councillor Makhari does not know that word, but I will explain it to him in our workshop. Yeah, so the spirit that exists here whenever we come here is extremely positive to us, and we are learning a lot from our honorable members of committee and the chair. And I can certainly tell you that under my administration stewardship, I didn't know that word, but it's a very good word to use. We are also learning to we will have to try very hard to use those words. So whenever we come here, we listen carefully to what you want us to go. And I can certainly say when you see our work plan, you will see that most of these items are already factoring into our business plan. I thank you so much again, members of Portfolio Committee, and you, Honorable Chair. Continue to lead us in a more excellent way. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Members,
I nearly say comrades. members, we are done with our first item, which is ICASA. Thanks very much, Chairperson, with your team. We must just quickly look at the program. As I've indicated some time that the people who are giving us direction around the program, they tend to change from time to time. We're supposed to have DOC today dealing with the strategic plan, but because strategic plan are only going to be officially tabled in Parliament tomorrow, we could not do that before the official tabling in Parliament. That's why we have then shifted the OC to Friday. The other reason is that next week, Tuesday, we'll be having GCIS. But what we have since said is that we'll have the first part in the morning, GCIS, but we'll continue then afternoon to finalize GCIS, IMC, and also MDDA in that particular day. What it means, it will be an extended working time for the committee or for the members. We might finish around 8 or 9, or around 6 or 7, sorry, not 8 or 9. Then Friday, we'll have post office. Then that other Tuesday, the 22nd, already ICASA has also indicated that we'll have them. And then the Friday or the 25th March, we'll have the strategic plan for CENTEC. Then 28th March to 1st of April, we hope that we'll have the oversight to KZN and Eastern Cape. We want to go and visit the SABC regional offices, ICASA on that side of Eastern Cape and KZN, and also CENTEC. The reason, part of what we want to do, members, is also to deal with the areas where there is no coverage, the network coverage. And CENTEC and SABC, they are crucial or key in terms of provision of the accessibility of transmitters around those particular areas. So that's the program, members. But one issue which I must highlight is that the ANC component, when we're about to finalize the post office bill, they've indicated that there are issues which they are still consulting at or on the bill. Then we must hold the bill for a while and so on. We might have to sneak the post office bill where we might have time, but within the program, we don't have to put a new meeting, a committee meeting, within the current meetings which are already there, just to sneak the post office bill so that we go through the formal delivery, so that firstly we receive the report, what is it exactly, which they are considering and so on, and then if we agree on that, we go to the formal deliberation, so that if possible, we can also deal with each of the post office bill. I think it has been with us for almost a year now. It's no longer desirable to have the bill still sitting with us as a committee and so on. So those are the issues, members, which I just wanted to engage with you. Nondab.
Chairperson, just a small request. Can I request that the changes in the program could be effected in a much more cleaner, updated program, which could be circulated to us so that we could better manage our diaries?
Thank you. Thanks, Nondab. That will do. We'll also communicate, members, that we think an hour presentation for these entities is sufficient. So what we'll be communicating to the entities that their presentation, they must time it to an hour. So that we are also able to have more time to interact with their strategic plan. Otherwise, if you've got an entity to present to 1.5 hours or 2 hours, then you don't have time to interact with their presentation. The pressure we're having is the obvious one, members. We're not going to have sufficient time because after this, the end of the month, we go to a constituency until 8th of April. When we come back, the entities which are not here, we might not have sufficient time because we must start the budget debate.
because the election are also coming, we must also create space for the election campaigns and the other things. So we are a little bit under pressure around that. But the program as we present now, unless the powers there seek to interfere with the program which we are going to have until we go to the constituency period. Thanks, members. I hope we are done for today.
Can you get venues, right venues for this program and communicate to all of them the program? Indeed. Yeah, apply for all of them, inform them, all of them, in the program that they are coming on the stages. Get the venues, all of them, and we might go to the ATC.